This morning's reading is the Old Testament lesson. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20-something. I can't. 20.
15 through 20.
And it's on page 186 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding you today, by loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life, so that you and your descendants may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him. For that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In the New Testament lesson, is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And this can be found on page 167 in your pew Bible. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. You know, there are those that have said that Old Testament is, you know, kind of dreary and dull, and it doesn't apply to us anymore. Well, when you read through Deuteronomy, you find out exactly what Jesus is telling people when he says, love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy strength, thy neighbor as thyself. Virtually everything that Jesus tells us is a reiteration of something that God has already revealed through his prophets in the Old Testament. As we look at the scriptures from 1 Corinthians today, one of the themes that we've been working with through Matthew, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching his disciples, educating them on what it is to be a disciple, set apart, different, holy. There are things that the world judges, things that the world teaches, things that the world presents, there's an earthly structure of power and might and intelligence and intellect. And there's a spiritual and a moral standard that we have to measure our lives against, because that's how God is going to judge us. I mean, there are those out there that say there's no judgment. I don't find that in the scripture. I know that there's grace, but I know that there's judgment, and we will all face that. Now, we, as Christians, are supposed to be being conformed to Jesus Christ, not conformed to the world. In other words, the society and the culture that's out there, we're called to be set apart and different, not conformed to the culture, but conformed to Jesus Christ. Now, we can work within the within the construct of Jesus Christ, how he changes our lives, and then change others, demonstrate how Jesus is really the way, the truth, and the life. Well, Matthew was giving us the writings as what Jesus had taught from the Beatitudes. And then last week we were talking about salt and light. Well, why are the disciples called to be salt and light? Salt's a preservative. Salt adds flavor. Light shines out the perils, leads us to follow the way. All of those are part and parcel with what Jesus is teaching his followers. Well, about 40 or 50 years later, Paul is still teaching, and he's set up this church in Corinth, and there's a division among these people in Corinth, and some are following Apollos, and some are following Paul, and some of them are thinking that knowledge and wisdom is more important than the Holy Spirit, that the smarter you are, the more of the Holy Spirit. No, you know, they miss the Beatitudes where it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be, and so on. But through this, what Paul says is, and so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of flesh, as infants in Christ, because of how they're acting. They've been baptized. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be in them. They have been taught. Paul taught them. Apollos has taught them about what Jesus had told his disciples, and told them how they're supposed to act, what they're supposed to be doing. And yet, here they are. They're conforming to the flesh, not the Spirit. Paul tells them, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, because, as he says later, you know, if you're a spiritual if you're spiritual people, then you're not going to be, I fed you milk, not solid food, but you were not ready for solid food, even though you were still not ready, for you're still in the flesh. And then in verse 3, here's how he tells you that you're still in flesh. This is how you can see the evidence. There are fruits of the Spirit. There's Galatians 5. You get fruits of the Spirit. You can see evidence of how the Holy Spirit is working in people. You can also see the evidence of how the world is working in them. He says in verse 3, for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? Bang. Now all you have to do is look in the mirror and see which one of those things it reflects. Are you reflecting that, or are you reflecting something other than that? If you're reflecting jealousy and quarreling, guess what you are? The flesh. For one says, and then he goes on to describe, because there are groups that are saying, I belong to Apollos and I belong to Paul. Well, Paul, if you read his scriptures and what he teaches, he says, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't preach Paul. I don't preach Peter. I don't preach James and John. I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because that's where we gain salvation. That's where we win the Holy Spirit in our lives that are going to change and transform us and bring us to a point where we can, with confidence, appear before that judgment seat and know that we can say, Lord, Lord, and he'll say, come with me into the kingdom. The next piece here is, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Whether it's Paul or Apollos, whether it's Billy Graham or any one of the other ministers of today. Servants through whom you came to believe. Did you come to believe in Billy Graham? Billy Graham was, I've watched so many of his shows. They're not shows, but revivals, etc. And what was he doing? He wasn't lifting himself up. He was lifting up Jesus Christ. And most of the good Christian evangelists out there today are doing that same thing. They're servants through whom we, and Paul is saying whom you, because he's speaking to the church at Corinth, but that is applicable to the church at Clarksbury, the church at Zor, the church at Lower, any other church. Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. When we preach, when we teach, when we share, we're getting those gifts and talents and graces from God Himself. That's why we need to be in a community of faith. That's why we need to do a Bible study. That's why we need to share what different authors, what the Scriptures have meant to them, what the Scriptures that we read are going to mean to us. It gives us an opportunity to delve into, to dig into, and in the process, immersing ourselves in the Scriptures, guess what happens? Now, less so with me, hopefully more so with you, is sometimes when I read things actually seep in and I absorb them. And, there's the light that comes on and I finally say, I got it. I can't tell you how many times I've read the book of Romans. And virtually every time I read Romans, I find something new in it. That's why we do it. That's why we study, because we aren't at that place now where we're going to understand it later. Even though you read the same sentence, the same verse, it's a different context and it's a different position in our own lives. But so he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave growth. So here's the big piece. We're not that important. Now, I don't mean that in the sense that we're insignificant and not important, because Jesus went to the cross for you. Okay? If Jesus is willing to pay that price, guess how much you're worth? You're worth every drop of His blood, every whiplash that He bore, every spit and every hammer of the nails into His flesh. That's what you're worth to Him. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. If we're preaching the Word, if we're preaching the good news, it's not me. It's not me. It's not my eloquence. Terry will tell you I'm not very eloquent. She hears me more than anybody else. And there are a lot of times the cats are smarter than me. She's smiling up here. But God gives the growth. And if it wasn't enough for him to have said that, in verse 7 he repeats it. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. Now obviously we know you need the person who's going to plant, the person who's going to water. That they need to be there. You and I have a purpose and a role. When we join a church, we say what? We're going to support the church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our talents, and our witness, right? Because the church needs that. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Again, it's stating God is the one. So, verse 8, the one who plants and the one who waters has a common purpose. We're in this together. We're workers together. And each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we, even Chuck, though he's not here. And pray for Chuck. This is in seriousness. That hand of his has just been giving him fits for the longest of time. And I'm telling you, I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that as we pray, out of James, it says the prayers of the righteous are powerful. As we continue to pray, God's going to work a healing in that. For we are God's servants working together. You are God's field and God's building. Now, what does that say? It says we. It doesn't say David. It doesn't say Becky. It doesn't say Fran. You know, when we do the food pantry and Fran's the one that's got the whip out there and driving us through all the bags and the tables, and we're loading up the bags. And then as people come in, you know, Fran's walking up and, Ken, there's somebody who needs to pray, so you need to go over here. Where's Pastor Ken? You know, he's run off. I mean, it's like, I'm just walking around having fun, and she's, you've got a job. She has a list of jobs for everybody. Okay? Or Jerry, when she comes in and opens the door and those kids come running in, you know, who are they running to? Now, they're not running from Jerry. Where are they running to? They're running to Diane and Mary. Why? Because what are they getting when they get there? Oh, okay, lemonade maybe and maybe a treat. But there's the peace and love of God. You know, I've told you several times before that the kids make different things in that. Now, here's the thing. They may be simple, but you know, if that right there is something that somehow they take away from today, Corinthians 13, love is, if they take that away, if they take that away and take it to heart, oh, that's working together. It doesn't, you know, the children's message that's here, the music, oh my goodness. Okay, show of hands. How many of you are ready to get up and start singing with us? Praising the Lord. How about the upper tier up there? Anybody still awake? They're laughing. Yeah, okay, huh? Ah, yes. From Isaiah. Oh, to Jerry and Fred. Now, when you get something like this personally addressed, I don't need to tell you how much that affects you. So we're workers together. And here's the thing. It is not a fruitless job. It bears fruit. We may not see it. The person who plants and the person who waters, they may not see the tree that grows. How long does it take for an apple tree to produce fruit? Years. The person who plants that tree may not be there after they've watered it and tended it. They may not be there when it bears fruit. But there's the hope and the expectation. You and I, through all of our contacts with people, as long as we realize that it's not us, it is the Holy Spirit. When we start thinking it's us, then we're conformed to the world. And that's not what Paul wants us, and that's not what Jesus wants us to be. He wants us to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that is love. And we're in this together. So, Thursday on the 27th and Friday on the 29th, we have an opportunity to come and share in one ministry. And there are all kinds of other ministries. And come and share with us on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Max Licato's Jesus. You know, there's so much about him. He's the God who knows your name. He knows my name. And we'll learn that and walk through that together. In the name of Jesus Christ, be at peace. Shalom.